morning, let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for bringing us into your presence. God, thank you for bringing us into early morning prayer, just to meet with you and to pray, to hear your word and to pray and to worship together. Just want to invite you into this place, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to continue on with our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And last week we looked at joy. Today we're going to look at peace. So the fruit of the Spirit, just to recap, is the result of us living and following, living according to and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, evidence of our spiritual formation. So we can ask ourselves, am I displaying these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? Am I displaying these things in my life? I think often as we reflect and ask ourselves that question, the answer is no. Are you reflecting love, joy, peace, Wesley? No. Just kidding. But, if we reflect and we ask ourselves, probably not. Often we're like, oh man, I did not live or act in love. I don't have a lot of joy. I don't have a lot of peace. And the idea is not to, number one, it's not to condemn ourselves or to be ashamed or to be in despair. And the second thing, the idea is not to then, okay, I'm just going to work on it. I'm going to do everything I can to love people or be patient or to have joy. It's all about going to God in surrender and saying to God, Father, I don't have love in my heart. Your word says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, but I don't have it. And it's to recognize and admit it to yourself and to God and to come in humble surrender and say, God, I need your help. I need your help. And through that process of coming to God in humility and acknowledging, the inner transformation will take place. That's where the spiritual disciplines would come in, right? We would go before God and meditate, as P. Kenny shared with us this past Sunday. And we reflect, what's going on in my heart that I am so anxious? What's going on in my heart that I'm so impatient? And then you tell that honestly to God and you connect with Him. You study the Word, and as you read the Word of God, things will be highlighted to you that you say, man, this is what I need. You know, so that's, I think the disciplines would come in, and then we grow as we acknowledge, humbly acknowledge and surrender. Surrender our weaknesses. So a question this morning, do you have peace? Do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you display peace? What is peace? It's a big topic. I'm going to look at two aspects of peace. Peace as one, state of being in harmony. Yeah? Being in harmony with other people. A lack of conflict. State of being in harmony. And number two, state of calmness. Right? Lack of inner turmoil on the inside. So do you have peace? There's three, I don't know what you would call it. Three sorry, I didn't have time to come up with it. Three ways we can maybe experience peace. Okay, so we're going to look at those three. Number one is peace with God. Number two is peace with others, right? That's state of being in harmony. We're not in conflict with God, not in conflict with others. And number three is peace within myself. That's the calmness. That's state of calmness, not having inner turmoil. So it's peace with God, peace with others, and peace within myself. Peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Paul says, since we have been justified through faith, we now have peace with God. He will go on to say in verse 8 that we were sinners and Christ died for us. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he goes on in verse 10 to say that we were God's enemies. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, right? So we now have peace with God. Maybe the biggest thing for us to understand here is, first of all, that we were and still in many ways are sinners. And we often do things that oppose God, that are in opposition to God. I think we have to understand our own sinfulness for us to truly appreciate what Jesus has done for us and the peace that we now enjoy. I think without that, we're not moved. Tim Keller talks about this, right? Keller says, the gospel is this, right? That we are more sinful and more hopeless than we dare believe. And I mean, I like to add, than we dare admit, right? We don't want to admit to ourselves how sinful we are and how opposed to God we are, truly, if we really examined ourselves. We're more sinful and more away from God, more opposed to God than we dare believe or admit to ourselves. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and more accepted in Christ than we ever dare hope for. And he says, when we truly get that, you're going to be moved, broken on the inside, right? Torn apart on the inside at the mercy of God. And if we don't get it, we're going to be unmoved Christians. Unmoved in our heart. And I think that's, it's sad. You know, it's tragic. But many of us fall into that place often, right? We either think of God too low and the holiness of God too low, and so we're not bothered by our sinfulness, or we think of ourselves too highly and we think we deserve to be in relationship with God, and so we're not moved by that anyway. The idea of peace in Scripture is much bigger than just having a peaceful heart. The word shalom in the Old Testament is the way, it's derived from the word for wholeness or completeness. So imagine a wholeness. Are you a whole person? But the idea of shalom goes way beyond just an individual peace. It's talking about all of creation and restoring all things back to the way God intended it to be, right? Back to the way God intended it to be. So the phrase, the way things ought to be, restoring things back to the way things ought to be. And when you look at the Garden of Eden in the very beginning of the Bible and the New Jerusalem at the end of the Bible, that's a picture of shalom. the way things ought to be, the way things God intended it to be, the way God intended things to be in this world. And if you look at that, the Garden of Eden, how were things originally designed to be? We were created to be in relationship with God, right? And therefore, if we don't have that restored, I don't think we truly experience peace in this world. We don't truly experience shalom until we have that relationship with God restored. Okay, so that's the first one. Do you have peace with God? Do you enjoy this reconciliation with God and walk in this relationship with Him? Number two, peace with others. Peace with others. Have you heard this verse? It's been quoted many times in my life. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it depends on you, as far as possible, live at peace with everyone. Just take 20 seconds, 15 seconds. What do you think of when you hear that verse? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. What does that mean? Like, how would you live that out? Just think a little bit. Live at peace with everyone. The way I often, just when I, just intuitively when I heard it, I thought what Paul was saying is, be a nice person, right? Be a good person. Don't cause conflict. Don't cause trouble to others. And try to be an understanding and fair person. But if the other person is unreasonable, well, it no longer, as far as it is possible, right? So if the other person is really being unfair and mean and whatever, then yeah, it's no longer it's possible for me. It's not up to me. So I'm just going to, you know, like it's no longer up to me to be at peace. But if you read it in its whole context, it's more than that. So if you go to verse 17, it says this: do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So it seems like when Paul is saying live at peace with everyone, he's talking about forgiveness, right? And treating those that treat you with evil and treating them with good and treating them with kindness. And it's talking about our response to our enemies. And I just thought that's, at least to me, it's a higher calling than I'm just going to try to be a nice person and make sure I don't cause conflict. It's almost like Paul is saying, when somebody brings or breaks the harmony with you, first, he's your enemy, she's your enemy, respond with peace so that the peace can be restored, right? In Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You know that term, live at peace with everyone, can be translated as cultivate peace with everyone or make peace with everyone. And if you're a peacemaker, you're called a children of God. Why? If you're a peacemaker, does that give you the name sons of God or children of God? Because God does this. God shows peace and makes peace with those that reject Him and hate Him and are His enemies. Just as we read in Romans, while we were still sinners, while we were opposed to God, While we were his enemies, he came to us in kindness and mercy, and he restored us into a relationship with him. And therefore, if we do the same, we're going to be called his children. And so for us to cultivate peace and to live out of this peace is more than just, I have peace in my heart, as in I'm not affected, I'm not anxious, I'm not worried. It means that, but it also means, hey, I'm going to treat those that treat me with non-peace, I'm going to give peace back to them. I'm going to approach them with peace and bring harmony to them. I just thought, wow, that's a deeper, more difficult task than maybe what we typically think of living in peace with everybody. Last one, peace within myself. Peace within myself. This is the one that I think we are maybe more familiar with when we talk about peace. The classic verse on this is probably Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is amazing, right? When you are anxious about something, it's so clear. You go to God in prayer and petition, and you let your request be made known to him with thanksgiving, and his peace that goes beyond circumstances. It's not a peace that is based on what is happening in my life, but it's a peace that transcends what is happening in my life. This calmness that comes over you, this assurance of God's goodness, this assurance of God's presence that comes over you, that in many ways defies what is going on in your life. That's the kind of peace that we have in Jesus Christ. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Simple question, who is the most peaceful person in the history of mankind? It's Jesus, right? Can you imagine the kind of peace that Jesus walked in? Can you imagine Jesus becoming frantic? You know, like, oh my gosh, 5,000 people, what am I going to do? We only have 5 loaves of bread. This is impossible. And you know, that's how we are. That's how I am for sure. Like, what? I have to do this and that, and I have to do EMP. PSM is going to be gone for 2 months. What am I going to do? That's how we are. Can you imagine Jesus is like, what are 12 disciples? They're always fighting. I'm so frantic. I'm anxious. I don't know what to do. No, he always walked in peace, right? Nothing ever fazed him. What? Your son is dead? Jesus doesn't freak out. He says, okay, I'll come to your place. I'll lay my hand. And Jesus says, my peace I'm going to give you, right? It's not just this, you know, it's not a ordinary peace, right? It's the peace of Jesus that he is offering to us. And if you look at that text in the context of what he's saying, it seems to imply that it's the Holy Spirit that is the one that brings us this peace. Because right before he says, peace I leave with you, he basically says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you. So he's basically saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit is going to come to you. Peace I leave with you. So he's saying through the Holy Spirit that is coming, you're going to be able to walk in this kind of peace. I just want to leave us with one verse that I really love. Is Psalm 94, verse 19. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolations brought me joy, right? In the NASB, it says, when my anxious thoughts multiplied within me, your consolations brought me joy. When my anxious thoughts multiplied within me. I don't know where you're, what you're like on the inside. Some people are more prone to worry than others, and I can just tell you, I am prone to worry. My mom was prone to worrying. My dad is almost the opposite, so they always have conflict. But I'm more like my mom, so I'm prone to worrying. And so, you know, I can get anxious. My anxious thoughts sometimes multiply within me like there is no stopping it. But it's always through coming to the Lord. And I think it's Psalm 73. It talks about entering into the sanctuary of God. And then everything made sense. Everything became clear when the psalmist went into the sanctuary of God. And when we do that, we take our multiplying anxious thoughts to the Lord, and if we experience His comfort, His consolations, His comforting, then it can restore us back to a place of peace. Which really brings us back to the first point about how peace begins with God. Right, without God, we cannot truly experience this biblical sense of peace, because true peace, I think, can only come through entering into that place, into that sanctuary of God, being in that intimate place of relationship with Jesus. So, yeah, let's turn to God. Wesley's going to lead us in a song. Father God, I just pray for this kind of peace, Lord. Thank you, first of all, that you have made peace with us, Lord, that our peace, our relationship with you has been restored. And help us to recognize, God, our own sinfulness in our lives, so that we are moved by what you have done to restore that peace. And help us to bring peace to others. God, I pray that we will work at it, cultivate peace, make peace, especially with those that don't treat us in that way. And thirdly, I pray that within ourselves, Lord, that we would have this comfort, consolation, peace, calmness that comes from you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I lay my burdens at your feet. I'm letting go of all the things I can't control. In my frailty, Lord, I find your strength. I am depending on the love that won't let go, so I trust you. Trust you, I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. So I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. I lay my burdens at your feet. I'm letting go of all the things I can't control. In my frailty, Lord, I find your strength. I am depending on a love that won't let go. So I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Are my peace, so I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. I don't have to be strong, 'cause you are my strength. Oh, you are my strength. Oh, you are my strength. I don't have to hold on, 'cause you don't let go. Oh, you don't let go. Oh, you don't let go. I don't have to be strong, 'cause you are my strength. Oh, you are my strength. Oh, you are my strength. I don't have to hold on, 'cause you don't let go. Oh, you don't let go. Oh, you don't let go. So I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. So I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. Oh, you weary, come and lay your burdens down. His yoke is easy, there is rest to be found. Oh, you weary, come and lay your burdens down. His yoke is easy, there is rest to be found. Oh, you weary, come and lay your burdens down. His yoke is easy, there is rest to be found. Oh, you weary, come and lay your burdens down. His yoke is easy, there is rest to be found. So I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Oh, you are my peace. So I trust you, I trust you, I trust you. Oh, you are my peace.
Thank you, God. Thank you for the peace that we have in you, that you are our peace. You alone. You alone can give us this peace that transcends understanding, a peace that the world cannot give, the peace that Jesus had from a complete trust in the Father. And also, yeah, peace in terms of we have peace with you, Lord. We can enjoy this relationship with you. Because of that, we can come to the throne room of grace with confidence to receive this kind of calmness and peace in our hearts, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our community that is battling cancer. Let's pray for God's power. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for peace for them, peace in their hearts as they go through this very difficult time. Ingrid went to the hospital. She had her operation yesterday to remove the lump, and I think they're waiting for some results. They'll hear back today. So let's pray for her. Let's pray for peace for her. And everybody else on this list. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are battling illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for breakthrough physically and also in terms of their spiritual life, you know, that they would come to faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members and family members are going through. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for those who are battling COVID. Let's pray for strength and healing for our friends, and also pray for our frontline medical workers, for strength for them and anointing and strength, guidance and protection for them. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and leading for them. Let's pray for, I think that's Tuesday. Yeah. Pray for our mission focus, Japan, U.S., and India. So SP Tokyo and SP New York. And let's pray for Kelly, our missionary in India. Let's pray for our missions council. Pray for them to really hear from God as they make decisions for our mission endeavors, both in terms of who do we partner with and financial decisions, how much support to give, all of that, that God would give them a lot of wisdom and clarity. And let's just pray for their personal lives, that God's favor and protection and grace will be upon them. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. Pray for Cadence, who is leading this ministry. Let's pray for our church families, that that more families will sign up as foster families, and that we would be matched with the right babies to be able to share the love of God with these children. And let's pray for that we'll be able to play a small role in God's heart for the orphans and the widows. Let's pray for our Friday night gatherings. So instead of IP, we have our corporate church prayer meeting tonight at 7:30 p.m. So please come out if you can. SP Youth and SPU, let's pray for them that they would have a wonderful time meeting together, worshiping God, connecting with each other, and connecting with God. So let's pray for these three Friday night gatherings. Let's pray for our pregnant moms, Fiona, Leslie, Vinci, Tyon, Hina, and others. Fiona and Leslie, they're due, and Vinci too, I heard. They're due very, very soon. The baby can come any moment. So let's pray for protection and just strength for the moms and for Tyon. Please pray her, the placenta is low. So if you could pray for just the placenta to move up supernaturally, because it could be a bit tricky if it's low. So let's pray for that and for Hina. So let's pray. God, heal the situation, God, that's low lying. Let's pray for our house churches, our Friday night house churches. Today is the last day of house church for this season. So let's pray that it'll be a really good time when they get to enjoy each other's fellowship and pray together. So let's pray for our house churches. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your love and grace and mercy in our lives, God. And help us to really enjoy your presence today. And help us to enjoy the peace that we have in you today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.